Mariah Curl is here, and as you know, Mariah, for many years, was in our church, grew up as one of our children, young people, young adults, served on the worship team, Sunday school classes, wherever we needed her. And then her heart was stolen by one of our missionary kids, who I remember, Darren, when he and his brothers came, and they were just little guys from Zimbabwe back in those days. Little did I know he'd come back and steal one of our girls. But he did, and we are glad. We are glad. And they are actively involved in missionary work with Juvenet Ministries, the group that a group of you went to Guatemala. And she's here to give a report on that, because she and Darren are planning a two-month trip into Central America. And so we want to hear about that. But more than anything, we want to welcome you back home, Mariah. So would you give her a hand as she comes this morning? God bless you. Thank you, dear.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Pastor. It's good to be home. Amen. It's good to be in church. But like Pastor said, this is home to me. This is where I grew up. Darren is so sad he can't be here today. He's actually in Costa Rica right now. They're building a cinder block house for a widow and her children. And it looks amazing. I wish I had put the pictures up there. But I just want to honor and thank Pastor Ed and Cheryl for allowing me to be here today. And Jimmy and Sharina and Ed and Stacy. I would not be who I am today without them. And they're incredible leaders. You know very well firsthand, just the incredible people, pastors, and men and women of God that they are, and I appreciate you. I love you. So like Pastor said, my husband and I are missionaries. I never thought those words would come out of my mouth. But lo and behold, God had other plans. Amen. We are missionaries with an organization called Juvenet. Now, some of you know you went on the missions trip with us last year, and it was amazing. I'm sure they had awesome stories to tell. But Caleb and Alyssa, we live with them in Salt Lake City. We've grown with them in their ministry to become missionaries with them. And they have been incredible people in our life, grown us even further. And we just love them and the incredible ministry that they have allowed us to be a part of and now lead. And so there are many facets of Juvenet and what that is. So the first is they manage over 600 youth ministries in Latin and South America. That's kind of an intimidating number. But they do incredible work making sure that the ministries there are flourishing, that they are growing and doing God's work. The other part is they have a slew of ongoing ministries and projects, outreaches that go on even when we're not doing missions trips. And that leads me to the third thing that they do, and that's missions trips, and that's where Darren and I come in. So this summer, when we're gone for 2 months, we'll be leading 6 missions teams from around the United States to various different countries. We will be in Costa Rica, Guatemala, and El Salvador leading teams. And part of those, can you go back to the first picture? I want to walk you through kind of what those trips look like, because some of them are a little different than maybe you heard from our team, because we do sometimes different things in different countries. So the first is we're going to be building 4 homes for widows and their children. This is actually Darren in the blue shirt building. So we get to be a part of it alongside you, and it's very fun. You can go to the next. But not only that, but we get to minister to the families that we build these houses for. It is no cost, they have to do nothing for these houses. It is solely a gift for their safety, for their well-being, so on and so forth. You can go to the next. The next is food distribution. So this 50-pound bag feeds a family of 5 for about 2 weeks. And it is an incredible, incredible experience to walk into these people's homes, just talk with them, sit with them, hear their story, and then bless them And it may only be for 2 weeks, but it means the world to them. And yes, I carried that all by myself. You can go to the next one. Next is school ministries. This is a huge, huge area of ministry for Juvenet. And it's kind of unique because it's not something you see here in the States where you can go and preach the gospel in schools. So it's an incredible opportunity that God has allowed us to be a part of. And we have seen countless lives changed for Christ in these schools. You can go to the next one. Part of the school ministry is when we have a youth team, they will put together a skit and a drama because there is a language difference. And so the drama is to portray the gospel in a very real visual way for them to see. And then from there on, they share their testimonies. They share what God has done in their life, who God is, and who God is to them. And you would be just amazed at the response that we see every time. Another amazing ministry is the orphanages there. The culture in these Latin American countries is still slightly behind in their medical knowledge to a certain extent. So there are countries that still believe that if a child or a person is disabled, that it can be caught or contagious. So they will abandon them completely. So some of these children were found abandoned in homes or on the street in various different places. But these facilities we partner with and make sure that they are taking care of these kids and adults, actually, you can go to the next picture, loved on, and that they understand and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go ahead to the next. We also get to do street ministry, just preaching to normal people in the streets, which is really cool. Go ahead. And just recently, we partnered with a rescue center. This center was started to rescue girls out of sex trafficking and abuse. These girls are incredible, incredible. Every team that comes and every time I go, I never leave the same. It is an incredible, incredible experience to meet these girls and just see their joy for the Lord. And even though what they've been through is so tragic, God is a redeemer, right? And he's so good. Go ahead to the next. And finally, we will have a few national Juvenet conferences where we get to minister to thousands of youth, thousands of people, and see thousands of lives come to Christ. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this picture brings me to a story. I wanted to share a testimony of what God did. Just last year, we took our first women's team to Guatemala, and we were so excited, but a little nervous because it was the first time we had done anything like this. And as we were preparing, the church that we were taking this team from is our home church in Utah, City Church. We do projects every month for the community and internationally. When this year, they decided to do CARES packages full of hygiene items, different various fun items, candy, some non-perishable foods, and then a package for the kids with toys and hygiene items as well. And we were in communication with the pastor there in Guatemala. It's a very rural village called Quiche. And when you hear that Americans are coming bearing gifts, the number just grows and grows and grows. And so we were like, there's only so much we can do, but we don't want to limit you, God. And so the number kept growing and the packages kept coming. And so we were so excited, so proud that we were able. So we flew down with 573 CARES packages to give to this village. Well, we show up and we step outside of the van to a sea. You can see there is no elbow room. And this does not capture the expansion of the crowd. They went all the way this way and all the way that way to no end. And we were like, kind of a fear just set in, and we were like, God, what do we do? We know we don't have enough for these people. And we didn't want anyone to feel left out. We didn't want to feel like we forgot them or didn't think about them. And so as we were trying to think logically, how can we do this? And we were like, well, let's pray. Let's just pray. And we were like, because this is we don't know really what else to do. So we prayed. And this is the moment. And that's Alyssa right there with the traditional garment. And we just lifted our hands to heaven and prayed, God, you are the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You are the God that created the miracle of the fish, loaves and fishes because you care about your people. God, if you did it then, you can do it today. And we were still a little nervous. And we were like, okay, logic. Let's give packages to the kids first. And only a certain amount according to how many they had in their families. So if they had 1 to 2, they got 1 package. If they had 3 to 4, they got 2. Any more than that, they got 3 packages. And we had them lined up. We were all at tables, and the crowd was beyond. And we had a rope set off to the far left, and where we sent the people that had received packages. But there's only so much you can do, because they ended up coming in a couple times. They wanted to make sure they had a good heart. They wanted to make sure that they didn't miss out on anything. And so we began to give packages out and give packages. And once we had seen that we had given almost a couple hundred, Alyssa came by to collect what she thought would be empty boxes, seeing as how many packages were given out. She walked up to me and she said, okay, where's your empty boxes? And I said, what do you mean? And she was like, I want to get out of your way. And I was like, I don't have any empty boxes. And it's like chaos. They're yelling and nobody's rioting, but it's just kind of a chaotic moment. And I'm like, I don't know. So I'm still handing out packages. She walks away. She comes back another time. We still had packages, so we decided to give the mothers packages. So they lined up, and we handed those out, and she came by. We only had 1 empty box. She was like, what is happening? We didn't really understand at all what was happening in the moment. And so on, we still had packages, so we moved on to the young girls that weren't mothers. They all got packages. Then the men started to feel left out, and without prompting, just lined up. And they all received. And as we're looking at this crowd, it kind of dissipated, and they all went to one side. And we looked at the pastor, and we looked at each other, and we kind of went on. We went on to have a women's conference inside the church and a VBS outside with the kids. And from those numbers, from the seats in the church and from the headcount at the VBS, we looked at the pastor and we were like, how many people are here? And we came to find out there was 1,200 people. And he told us over and over and over, every single person received a CARES package. Every person. And it took some time. It took some time to process. We went back to the hotel and we were like, God, what just happened? What just happened? And we were so taken back just by the Father heart of God. And that's what I felt. The more I contemplated, the more I was reminded of God's heart as a father to his people. It doesn't seem like it means a lot. It was just a little package with some hygiene items. But to them, God didn't want one of them to feel left out. He didn't want one of them to think that they were not worthy or not thought about, but that they were precious, that they were his children. And that's what God wants you to know today. That God cares about the little stuff. He cares that you, of the little stuff that matter to you, he cares. His heart for you is incredible. When I was contemplating just this miracle and this experience, God brought to me 1 John 3:1 that says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him." The world didn't understand. But God left no room for us to take any credit of ourselves. He not only provided 1,200 CARES packages, there was 3 boxes of CARES packages left over. 3. He is a good God, alive and well, working in our lives today, just like he was back then. And I'm just honored to share the testimony of what God, this is just one story. The stories are endless of what God has been doing through Juvenet and in these Latin American countries. And we're just honored to be a part of that. Honored to share it with people like you and encourage you this morning. And I hope you leave encouraged. And thank you again for having me this morning.
Thank you, dear. Wow. Isn't that incredible? Praise the Lord. And you can have a part in that. And if you would like to invest some of your dollars into this ministry, Juvenet Ministry is one of the 25 or so mission outreaches that we support every month. But Darren and Mariah have to raise their own funds in order to do these trips. So if you'd like to support them and help them on this journey they're going on, just make the check out to the church. And see Stacy out at the information table. She has an offering bag. You can just put it there. And let's see if we can give them some help to do some more miracles. Amen? And so do that today if you can. And if not, you want to bring it in later, just mark it for Darren and Mariah, and we'll be sure that they get it, and then we'll send them one check. Is that okay, dear? Amen. Let's give her another hand. Good job. Amen. All right. Well, let me wrap things up. that was an incredible story and amazing, and that's just one of the many things that God does because he cares about people all over the world. And I want to tell you that America continues to be with the most generous nation in the world. I want to tell you that. And it's the heart of missions. It's how we began as a nation. And so thank you and Darren for continuing to carry that out to those that are less fortunate. I want to read a scripture connected to communion this morning that I think will kind of bring a wrap-up to what we have. Just have a few remarks. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, these words are found, the Apostle Paul. He says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. To those who don't understand, to those who don't know, to those who reject the message, it's foolishness. There's a lot of people today who believe that we are foolish for following the Lord Jesus Christ and following the cross. A lot of people feel like we're foolish. The cross is an offense to many people. I was watching the softball World Series, the girls' softball World Series yesterday. I watched a little bit of the game, and that was where the Ducks beat the Tigers, LSU. But one of the LSU players, the black smudge they put under their eyes to help reflect the sun, she had a cross there in front of everyone. And all national television got to see the cross on her face. Amen? I appreciate that willingness. But to those who are perishing, the cross makes no sense at all. To many that are successful, why the cross? To those who have the always win attitude, why the cross? Why the cross? It's foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. How many say amen to that? It's not foolishness to us. It's not foolish that God would so love the world he would send his own son to die on the cross that we might have everlasting life. That's not foolishness, but there is power in the cross of Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross. And the commemoration of that in communion is powerful as well. And that's the power that helped turn 500 into 1,200, right? It's the power of the cross that encourages people to go and do what Darren and Mariah and others will do. The message of the cross. I looked at our new brochure that the kids have put together. And I don't know if you've seen it yet or not, but I was quite impressed with it. They kept showing me little things about it and said, "Do you like this?" And I've been so busy lately that I said, "Yeah, that looks good. That looks good. Yeah, that looks good. That looks good. That looks good." And they're beginning to wonder if they would have given me anything, I would have said, "Yeah, that looks good." But I looked at it the other day and I really looked at it, and you know, it really does look really good. And on it, it says, "The road has brought you here." The road has brought you here. The road has brought us here this morning. Every one of us traveled a road to get here. Some of you had a little rougher time getting here than others. Don't raise your hands, but how many were almost tempted not to come because the morning was so rough? But you made it anyway. The road has led us here today to celebrate communion, to hear this great story of what God has done and will do in Central America. The road has led us here. I thought of Cheryl and I. The road has that we've been on for 45 years. And really, it's been 48 years since I first met Cheryl in the foyer of our church in Coos Bay. The road that we've been on has been an incredible road. It's not always been easy. There's been some hills to climb. There's been some steep inclines. There have been some smooth places. But it's been quite a road to bring us where we are today. And yet the road stretches out even before us, right? Even before us. We have a couple couples getting married here in the next couple weeks. Their road is maybe just starting. Darren and Mariah's a year down the road, and you can count some of yours. I sat next to a fellow the other day at Swords, I think I mentioned last week. His road with his beloved was 68 years long. 68 years. But the road has brought us here today, and what a story it is. And I can truly say this, there have been more victories than battles in our roadway that God has provided for us. But the road of the cross, that's what I want to really bring into focus real quickly. I want to present this to you this morning. The road that Jesus walked. There's a book by Roy Hessian. It's an older book written in 1952, I believe, the year I was born. And it's called The Calvary Road. And it talks about the road to really total commitment to God and the road that Jesus walked down in order to secure our salvation. How many know today Jesus walked a rough road that we might have salvation? Amen? He walked a rough road, and He is on our road today. And I can truly say the only way that Cheryl and I have made it down our road is because of the presence of Jesus Christ. That's one thing we agreed on when we were talking about marriage, is we wanted a Christian home, we wanted to be in the ministry, and we wanted our children, however many the Lord would bless us with, to know Jesus Christ. That was our commitment, that Jesus would be the center of our marriage. And He has been that, because He walked the road for us. Let me give you three things real quickly. The road of prophecy led Jesus to Calvary. We won't take time to read them all this morning. But if you read Psalms 22 and you read Isaiah 53, two of the most powerful prophetical writings in the Old Testament, where thousands of years later, Jesus would fulfill those almost exactly, I mean almost to the T, you will see that the road of prophecy led Jesus to Calvary and the cross. Psalms 22, David writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, verses 1 through 22, he describes a crucifixion even before crucifixion was invented, even before it was perfected by the Romans. It was a prophetical word concerning Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53, the passage that people just can't get around. If you don't believe in Jesus, you can't get around this. You avoid it. You stay away from it, because it describes in minute detail the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That there's no comeliness in Him that we would desire Him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. It describes the crucifixions 1,000 years before it happened. It was the prophetical road that led Jesus to Calvary. Number two, the road of love led Jesus to Calvary. You know the verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, that whosoever believes in him would not, but have everlasting life." It was the road of love that Jesus chose to walk that led him to Calvary. Why would Jesus do that? Why did he die on the cross? Why did he go through all the horrible things that he would go through? Because he loved us. Why would Darren and Mariah and other couples like them, other individuals, go to foreign lands to help people that are destitute? Why? Because they love those people. Amen. They love the gospel and they love people and they want to help people. Why do our missionaries, all of our missionaries that support around the world for Grace International and those that are in other organizations, why do they risk their lives? Why do they risk their fortunes? What? They're not their fortunes, but their savings. Why do they invest everything into going and preaching the gospel? Because Jesus Christ, the road led him, the road of love led him to Calvary. And what more can we do except let the road of love lead us to ministry to help other people? Amen. Now you may not be able to go, but you can write a check today to Landmark, but it'll go for Darren and Mariah. And you can say, "I can't go to Central America." Some of you are saying, "I'm not sure I'd even want to go to Central America." That's all right. You can go by way of sending someone else. Amen. Amen. You come on. Amen. 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 You can help them go so they can be our representatives. And so it was the road of love, the road of prophecy, the road of love. And thirdly, it was the road of God's will. Luke 22, 41 and 42. Let me read those words to you, please. "And Jesus was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and he prayed, saying, 'Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.'" I call it the Gethsemane battle. Gethsemane was a little garden area just over the brook of Kidron. It was an area that David, who wrote of Jesus in Psalms 22, would pass over on a number of occasions. But now it's grown up, and there's some ancient trees there. And Jesus would frequent that place. But here before the cross, he would fight the battle, the Gethsemane battle, the battle for God's will. The road of prophecy led Jesus to Calvary. He had to fulfill prophecy. The road of love would lead Jesus to Calvary. He would have to accomplish what God's love described. But now, the road of God's will. It is not always easy to do God's will. If God said to you today, "It is my will that you go out today and order a 27-ounce ribeye steak," how many would go, "I want to do your will, oh God"? Amen? And especially, "Lord, if you will provide the way to pay for it, I will do your will." If God spoke today and said, "It is my will that you go to one of our local grocery store and get a month's supply of chocolate," except for those individuals who don't like chocolate, which we're praying for you, but you'd say, "I want to do that. That's God's will. I want to do that." But what if God says, "It is my will that I want to take you through a time of suffering and hardship"? "Oh, count me in." No, no, no. You know what human nature would do, right? Whoa, whoa, whoa. The steak I'm in, the chocolate I'm in, but this one, oh, I got to pray about this. Suffering, hurting, boy, how can that be God's will? And we would go through all the theological hoops trying to figure out a way for this not to be God's will. And though not for everyone, sometimes it is God's will for us to suffer and to hurt and to have pain. For what reason? We may never know. Other reasons we may. Now, I know that flies in the face of you who may be here today and say, oh, no, 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 God's will always be happy duty and Humpty Dumpty and never fall off the wall and always drive a good car and have my bills paid and everything, heaven on earth, that's God's will. Well, that sure doesn't line up with most everybody I've read about in the Bible. Come on. Hello? Are you mad at me yet? The good news is next week Eddie's preaching again, so you'll have a reprieve. No, no, no. Sometimes it is God's will. So Jesus, the road of God's will led Jesus to Calvary, but he had to fight the Gethsemane battle first. Now, let me qualify by saying this. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to hurt. I don't want to go through hard times. I don't want to go through hard times. I don't want any of that. But I have gone through some of those things. And looking back now, I can see how it was God's will. Because it worked something deeper in me than ever could have been worked out in the good times. Hello. Now, I wouldn't automatically volunteer for it. But sometimes it happens. And I know that may be hard, and maybe that's the most controversial thing that I've said this morning. How can it be God's will for me to have suffering and for me to have pain? What the Bible does say is that it's going to happen to many, but he said, make sure this, that you're not suffering because of what you do. But if you are going to be suffering, a godly suffering, make sure it's suffering for what God wants to produce in your life. I don't have time to tell you this morning a couple of missionary stories of men and women who have suffered on the mission field. And you'd say, of all people, missionaries shouldn't have to suffer. They give up so much to go anyway, and yet they have suffered. But because of what they went through on the mission field, untold thousands of people came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So I'll let you chew on that for now, and I'll conclude by saying the message of the cross is the message that our world desperately needs today. 1,200 and so many people in that little place, Moriah, many of them needing the message of the cross. And what better way to start it than to hand them a care package and say, this is from the Lord. This is from people who care for you. They don't even know you. And through that, being able to see the love of God that is shed abroad in their hearts. The message of redemption and mercy and forgiveness. It's the message that Jesus says can save us to the uttermost, those who come to him. The power of the cross. Let me reread our text and then I'm finished. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. And I hope that's you. I hope that's you. Now, real quickly, Jesus is in Gethsemane. He says, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He goes on. He dies on the cross. Thus, his broken body, his shed blood. But on the cross, Jesus took all the suffering and all the pain and all the agony, and he did what everyone has to do when we have that. He said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. I put it on you. I give it to you, O God. And that's what we have to do with the difficult times that we go through. We have to give them to God and say, God, you can make diamonds out of coal. Amen? You can make something beautiful out of the ashes. Some of you remember when St. Helens erupted and all that destruction and all that ash. You're sitting on ash right now. If we remove this carpet and remove the underlayment and you hit the floor, you'd get this. Because when she blew, because even saints blow their tops. When she blew, all that was here was just a deck. And that ash, and there was no way we could get rid of it, so we just covered it over. And all of that destruction, And people would say, what good has it done? What good has that done? Well, some very sharp entrepreneurs at the time started making ash figurines and selling them. And some people made a good amount. Made out of Mount St. Helens ash. How many know that God can make wonderful things out of the ashes of our lives? Amen? Amen. Yes, He can. Yes, He can. Thank you, Mariah. You did wonderful today, dear. And I hope before you leave, you'll leave an offering for Mariah at the information table with Stacy. Hope you'll make a check out generously to Landmark Market Mariah and Darren, and we'll see that they get that offering today. Father, we thank you this morning for communion, that the road led you to Calvary. All of us have a road to walk down starting from this point. We don't know where that road will lead in this life. It may have twists and turns. It may be smooth. It may be uphill. It may be downhill. But what we know is the final destination of our road leads to heaven. It leads to heaven where we will sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb and have what is the consummation of the communion meal, where we will sit with Jesus in heaven, feasting together and anticipating an eternity with Jesus, where all the sorrow will be erased, all the tears will be gone, all the hard, difficult things in the road will have been forgotten, and we will have eternity to spend with Jesus. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So, Lord, with that power, give us the strength to walk the road that you have before us, knowing that you walked it ahead of us, and you will be with us, and we will make it because of the power of the cross. We commit that to you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Dismiss you now with God's blessing. And if you need special prayer, I'll be down here in a few moments for praying with you. But don't forget to leave an offering if you can for Darren and Mariah's missionary journey with Stacy at the information table. God bless you.